I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. We begin today with reactions to a multi-billion-dollar bailout of Ireland. The country agreed yesterday to the bailout from the European Union and the International Monetary Fund, and today, world markets responded. European shares fell, with banks among the biggest losers. Investors apparently worried that other European countries will need similar financial assistance. The bailout fallout is most obvious in Dublin. The World's Laura Lynch reports that an early general election in Ireland now seems inevitable.
Ireland's economic turmoil has now led to a political crisis. The Prime Minister, Brian Cowan, is refusing to bow to public and political pressure to call a snap election. Instead, he's calling on other parties to pass a critical budget quickly.
And to delay it, or to not to proceed with it, would do grave damage to our interests. That is our belief, and we believe that we must proceed as our duty dictates.
Cowan does say he will go to the polls in January, but his determination to fight on until then may not be enough. The Green Party is the junior partner in the governing coalition. Leader John Gormley says the Greens will support the government, but only until the bailout package is sealed.
Leaving the country without a government while these matters are unresolved would be very damaging and would breach our duty of care. But we have now reached a point where the Irish people need political certainty to take them beyond the coming 2 months. So we believe it is time to fix a date for a general election in the second half of January 2011.
But the government may not make it that far. Two independent MPs critical to the coalition may not play along. In cities, towns and villages, there is a mix of anger, exasperation and embarrassment. A parish priest in the town of Drogheda, Father Ignatius O'Donovan, has seen the emotional toll on the faces of the people who come to church.
What I compare it to is a massive surgical operation carried out without anaesthesia on a patient who thought he was in the best of health.
But Ireland is sick, and for Europe, the most pressing task is to try to keep the disease from spreading. The medicine will cost the EU and the IMF more than $100 billion. Britain, with its close ties to the Irish economy and people, is going a step further. The Chancellor, George Osborne, told the British House of Commons the UK will consider loaning Ireland billions more.
It is clearly in Britain's interest that we have a growing Irish economy and a stable Irish banking system. By considering a bilateral loan, we are recognising these deep connections between our two countries. And crucially, it has helped us to be at the centre of the discussions that have shaped the conditions of an international assistance package that is of huge importance to our economy.
Germany's Foreign Affairs Minister, Werner Hoyer, rejects suggestions that Ireland's economic problems increase the weaknesses of other heavily indebted Euro countries like Greece and Portugal.
We must be aware that the causes for the problems in the respective countries are completely different. So I do not see a contamination because of the present Irish problem, which I think is in good hands after the decision of last night.
But the market reaction today, shaky at best, suggests not everyone is convinced this is indeed the end of the matter for Europe. Portugal is seen as vulnerable, although its government says there's no need for a bailout. Economist Pedro Laiche thinks his country could use a bailout of its own.
It may be a good thing that the bailout comes, because if it eases the financial conditions of the Portuguese state in the markets, that's a good thing.
None of this helps the weak recoveries in other parts of the world. Ireland's instability, combined with worries about other European nations, will continue to shake the markets and worry investors around the globe. For The World, I'm Laura Lynch in London.